Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, May 15th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly lunch and learn. And this week is Parshat Emor, and we are going to be looking at Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23, Pasuk Chaf Bet, verse 22. In Vayikra. Now you have that on your sheet, but if you in your Chumash, I'd like you to open up to Vayikra Yud Tet Tet.
672.
For Yud Tet Tet, page 658. The pasuk in Parshat Emor is on the sheet, but another pasuk we're going to look at in last week's parsha is on page 658. Okay, so in this week's parsha, Parshat Emor, just to give you the context of what's going on in these pasukim, we're talking about the festivals. The Chagim, at the beginning of chapter 23, the Torah begins to elucidate the various Chagim. It starts with Pesach and then moves on to the Omer. This is the period we are in right now. The Omer count and Shavuot. And then it talks about Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. And in the middle of the section dealing with the Omer, the Torah states as follows. Let's look at the pasuk in the Torah that on the sheet that you have. Uvekutzrichem et kitzir artzichem. This is the top source on page 1. Uvekutzrichem et kitzir artzichem. Lo tichale paat sadcha bekitzurecha. V'leket kitzircha lo tilaket, le'ani v'lager ta'azovotam, ani Adonai Eloheichem. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap all the way to the edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor or the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So this is an obligation to leave behind certain parts of the field for the needy. Okay, so it's telling us, when you're going to be harvesting your field, to leave certain parts of the field for the poor. And the reason. So that's the pasuk. The question I'd like to address is the following: if we look back now in the pasukim that I told you to keep your place on earlier in Vayikra Yud Tet, chapter 19, on page 658. If you look in verse 9 and 10, tell me what you see. It's the same thing. Right, it's the same thing. It's the same mitzvah. Right, we have the mitzvah here. This is talking about the beginning of Kedoshim is talking about laws, social laws. There's stuff about Shabbat as well, but here we have gifts to the poor and honest dealings with others, and the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. It's a big mix of different laws in Kedoshim. But as you see, as you pointed out in Pasuk Tet, uvekutrichem ekitzir artzichem lo tichale pat sadcha, it's almost the exact same pasuk.
But it doesn't say here they mention the
vineyard. Correct.
It's the same idea.
It's the same idea, exactly. So the question that I'd like to address is why? Right? Why do we have this repetition?
Because it's a big mitzvah, it's something very important, the issue about for
Okay, maybe, but there are other that's one question, is why we have it repeated and it's so soon, one right after the other. And the second question is, what's it doing in our parsha to begin with, even if it is important, right? This is a section that's dealing with certain offerings that have to be brought at a certain time of the year. If you want to look in the context of the psukim in this week's parsha, turn to 684. We could start with pasuk 15. Usafartem lachem machrat haShabbat miyom beviachem etomer hatnufa sheva Shabbatot t'mot hiyena. This is the mitzvah of counting the days between Pesach and Shavuot. You shall count for yourselves from the morrow of the rest day, from the day when you bring the omer of waving. 7 weeks they shall be complete. Ad mimacharat haShabbat haShviit tisperu chamishim yom vehikravtem mincha chadasha laHashem. Until the morrow of the 7th week, you shall count 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Hashem. Mimoshvotechem taviu lechem tinufa shtayim shnei esronim solet tihiana chametz tiafena bikurim laHashem. From your dwelling places, you shall pasuk Yud Zion now. Yud Zion. From your dwelling places, you shall bring bread that shall be waved, 2 loaves made of 2/10 ephah. They shall be fine flour. They shall be baked leaven. First offerings to Hashem. V'kraftem alechem shivat kivasim t'mimim b'nei shana ufar ben bakar echad ve'elim shnayim yiyu ola la'Hashem v'chatem eskem isher la'Hashem reach nichoach la'Hashem. With the bread you shall offer 7 unblemished lambs in their first year, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be an elevation offering to Hashem with their meal offering and their libations, a fire offering, a satisfying aroma to Hashem. V'asitem sirizim, so it gives us more of the stuff that has to be brought with this karban. And at the end, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not remove completely the corners of the field. What is that doing here? We're not talking about harvesting here. We are talking about the karban haomer that needs to be brought. Why are we talking? Why did Ichana, you may be right, it's important to repeat it, but then at least put it somewhere where it makes sense. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Zach, bevakasha.
Thank you. I think that it's important to recognize that just in the Parashat Kiddushin, when it's mentioned about social justice, but look how it's done, social justice, in tied to farming society. The Jews did not have at the moment where they dwell in the time.
Right.
It means that we're talking about future.
Future, country, right.
Future.
When they're settled in Eretz Israel, right.
Exactly. Second one, get much more sophisticated connection. It talks about Karbanot, and then, after the statement, it talks about Hagim. It's like a link. Social justice is a prime goal for you. And all your karbanot, what you offer God, only will make sense when you have social justice.
Ah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And not only this, wonderful. After, when it talks about Hagim, the most important Hagim, we have a high holidays, right? Yom Kippur.
Right.
What could be better? You're supposed to, for 10 days, purge yourself. It shows that it's also connection is social justice.
Okay, very nice. Very nice. The only question I would ask about that is, why is it specifically then put between, in the middle? Maybe it should be at the end of all the Chagim.
Link between...
No, it should be at the end of the Chagim. At the end of the list of the Chagim, if you want to talk about the social justice, it's not at the end, it's right in the middle. It's first you have Pesach, then you have the Omer, then you have Shavuot, then you have this, then you have Rosh Hashanah, then you have Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. Why is it? Why put it in the middle? It seems to be specifically related to the Omer. Your point is, I think, well taken and true, but that's a question I would have.
Say this, that it's almost the same level as Akravat Korbanot in Beit HaMikdash. It's in the same importance, same.
So then put it in the section that deals with the Karbanot of the Beit HaMikdash, not the Chagim. There are sections in the Torah that talk about the Karbanot. So put it there. It could be. I think that you're both making a very valid point. But the question is, why here? Right, the why here, though.
Maybe it's seasonal.
That's last week. This, I'm talking about, why is it in Parshat Emor, right in the middle of the Chagim?
It's seasonal.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Good.
It's also connected with the Chagim.
Okay. So there is a connection with the Chag HaKatzir. Okay, let's see some of the commentaries that we have here. So let's go back to the sheet that I gave you. First you have the Pasuk. The second source, I didn't label it. The second source is Rashi, where it says, B'kutruchem. On page one, just the second entry, that's Rashi. Okay, B'kutruchem. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clear riddance of the corner of the field. Chazar v'shana. Right? Says Rashi, that the Torah repeats and teaches this prohibition here. Why? La'avur aleihem b'shnei lavin. So it's not repeating it only because it's important. It's repeating it. Once the Torah repeats it, it's if you violate it, now you violated two prohibitions. The prohibition listed in Kedoshim last week and the prohibition listed in Parshat Emor this week. Question is, why does the Torah, what's the point of the Torah making this so powerful that if you violate it, you are violating two prohibitions? Chazar v'shana, la'avur aleihem b'shnei lavin. Amar Rav Avdimi b'Rabbi Yosef. So Rashi quotes Rav Avdimi b'Rabbi Yosef. Ma ra'a hakatuv litna be'emtza harigalim. Pesach ve'atzeret mikan. V'rosh Hashana v'yom ha-kippurim v'chag mikan. The question that we asked. It is important. And that's why and you're right, Chana, it's repeated because it's so important. But why is it repeated here in the middle of the Chagim with Pesach and Shavuot on one side of it? Hold on, let's finish Rashi 1 second. Pesach and Shavuot on one side and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim on the other. That's Rashi's question. He says, L'lamedcha shekol hanotein leket. Shichacha upeya le'ani kira'oi, baruch shekivant chana, ma'alin alav ki'ilu bana beit hamikdash ve'hikriv karbanot betocho. Wow, that's amazing, right? It is so. It's so important. It's so important to make sure that the needy are taken care of. That it's repeated. To make it clear that if you violate this and you don't leave part of the field for the needy, you have violated two prohibitions in the Torah, two isurim d'oraita. That answers the question as to why it's repeated. Second question, why is it stuck here in the middle of this area? Because this area is dealing with the Chagim and some of the Karbanot that are brought during the Chagim. To say it's the same thing, it's equal. If you do this, it's as if you have not only brought a karban, it's as if you have built a Beit HaMikdash. So it repeats it, a double prohibition, a double transgression, presumably, I guess, special, and the reward for doing it is also special, right? What the Torah is doing here is, the Midrash is telling us that when the Torah provides a situation where there may be a double prohibition, and a serious punishment, it also, if you do follow the law, it also provides a special reward. Okay? And so that is Rashi. Rashi answers both questions in one with one explanation. Yeah, Zach.
Just when I talk about link, I would like to also remind that when we talk Ten Commandments, we know that we divide them in the what relation between person and Hashem,
right,
and then between people.
Right.
This is exactly the same thing. It only could be complete. And we always say, those five, they're not supposed to look separately.
Right,
they
right.
They must be looked together. Exactly the same thing. It's not enough to establish your physical appreciation to Hashem, you must to complete
right, very good.
Establish your obligation toward to need it.
Good.
This is why it's here, this is why it's...
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so that's Rashi together with Zach and Chana. Okay, excellent. Let's see the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra has an interesting explanation. He says as follows, on the bottom of the first page, the commandment of when you reap the harvest of your land is mentioned a second time, apropos the festival of Shavuot, which involves the first fruits of the wheat harvest. We must not forget the commandments which pertain to that time of the year. Exactly as you said. This is just seasonal. Right? He takes a very different tact than Rashi. Rashi has a musar for us, has an ethical lesson to teach us, and the Ibn Ezra is just more pshat. Right? The pshat is simple. It has to be repeated here because it's just part of the season. And if you're going to be harvesting for the Bikurim, if you're going to be harvesting for the Omer, then you better be careful to make sure that you leave the stuff aside for the aniyim. Okay? I want to do just the two more. I want to do the Netziv here. You see, everyone really picks up on this question. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin in his commentary says as follows. This is the second entry on the back page. Le'el b'parshat kedoshim kitiv azharot halalu b'chukim b'chukei adoshem hameviim lidei shalom. Okay, so we know in Kedoshim the purpose is to set up a just society. That's why this is mentioned in Kedoshim. There has to be some sort of social network or social safety net in order to take care of the poor. Hameviim lidei shalom kamo shebiyarnu bimkomo, as he explained there. Okay, so that's what's doing in Kedoshim. What's it doing here? V'kan sidera katuv azharot halalu b'makom shehizhir hakatuv al mitzvot shemevi shefa bracha. Now, this is another list of mitzvot. This is a list of mitzvot, which the Netziv says, if we follow them, bring us blessing, good fortune. Hachi nami, azivat leket shichacha upeya. Right, that's the Rashi Tevot there. Leaving aside these parts of the field for the aniyim, umatanot le'aniyim, and leaving aside portions for the poor, mevi lidei bracha, brings bracha, k'mo d'tam b'sechet avot, digezel matanot aniyim, mevi lidei batzoret. If you steal what belongs to the poor, the punishment is famine. But if you leave for what you're supposed to leave for the poor, brings bracha. It's this notion that it's not the, we see it in other places too, this idea that giving tzedakah doesn't impoverish you, it actually brings you bracha and brings you more good fortune and maybe even more wealth. Okay? So in Kedoshim, it's all about social justice. Here, it's not about that as much as it's about bringing shefa and bracha. And presumably, the Netziv is saying that the chagim that we celebrate also, they also bring shefa and bracha, plenty and blessing, and leaving aside the matanot aniyim, the portions for the poor, also brings that same bracha. Yeah. Right. Yes. Right. Right. Excellent. Okay. One last thing about this. This is from the Meshach Chachma. He asked the same question. Why do we have the repetition? We had it in Kedoshim, although in Kedoshim it does talk about the vineyard, and here it does not talk about the vineyard. So he says the following: Ki matan Torah ba'atzeret lo haya rak al hachukim, Ki im al, you don't have this. You don't have this. I'm reading. You don't have this. Ki im al hanimusim hamuskalim. What are we talking? What holiday are we talking about here? We're talking about between Pesach and Shavuot. And what do we celebrate on Shavuot? Matan Torah. So the question the Meshech Chachma is dealing with is what was given to us at Matan Torah? Which mitzvot? So, but those aren't the only categories we could break up the mitzvot. We could break up the mitzvot into categories of ben adam lechavero and ben adam lemakom, interpersonal mitzvot and mitzvot that about between us and God. That's true. But there are other types of distinctions we could make in mitzvot. And he makes another distinction, which is chukim, which are things we would not have thought of on our own, and nimusim muskalim, just normal human menschlich behavior that we may have thought of on our own. We may have thought of on our own that you should take care of the poor. We may have thought of on our own that you shouldn't steal, that you shouldn't kill. What was given at Sinai? Was it just the mitzvot that we wouldn't have figured out on our own? But the other stuff wasn't taught at Sinai, even though it's part of our tradition? So he says, Ki teideun, you should know, Ki matan Torah b'atzeret lo haya rak al achukim. What we got on Shavuot at Matan Torah was not just the stuff we wouldn't have figured out on our own, like don't mix wool and linen. I'm not sure if we would have come up with that one on our own, right? So God gave us that one. Ki im al animusim hamuskalim, kemo chanina la'ani v'lager. At Har Sinai, God also told us the things which we may have come up with on our own, like taking care or concern for the poor and the stranger. And then he says this, which is interesting. Ki belo emunah b'Hashem alul shekol adam liyot kiparitz chayot lo yichmo v'lo yisa p'nei aviv. It's possible, he says, that without belief in God, people are going to do, you know, whatever they want. There'll be no moral code. I'm not sure if research bears this out. I'm not sure if research bears out that religious people are more ethical than atheists. I'm not sure. But that's his point, is we need belief in God in order to have certain red lines which we don't cross. Because otherwise, in his language, ha'adam liyot kiparitz chayot, lo yachmol. A person's going to be like an animal without any type of chemla, any type of pity on anyone. He says, that also requires emunah. Okay, lachein amar ki bechag ha'atzeret tachogu al matan Torah. On Shavuot we celebrate the giving of the Torah. Lo al achukim bilvad. Not only because of the chukim, the mitzvah we may not have thought of. Ki im gam al hamusagim b'seichel. We all also accepted and got from God those aspects of our tradition which are rational. They're reasonable. We wouldn't need a divine source for them. Lachein bekurtzachem katiratzachem gam kein mitzad she'ani Hashem Elokecha. That's why it says at the end also of the pasuk, right, that we learned ani Hashem Elokecha. What does ani Hashem Elokecha have to do with leaving gifts to the poor? If you're a nice person, you take care of the poor. Well, his point is we also have to remember that these nimusim, good manners, appropriate interpersonal relationships, are also part of the Torah. And therefore, they are this. And so I think what he's saying is, this is just an example. This is, as we say, lav davka. This is not only about ubikur tzachem mekatzira tzachem, leaving it for the poor. It feels to me like what the Meshech Chachma is doing is that this pasuk is hinting a much greater idea to us. I snuck in, God says, this idea about being nice to the poor to remind you that all aspects of interpersonal relationships, which you may think are just nice, but they're not part of the divine command, they're also part of the divine command. That's why they're in the mitzvah. That's why they're in the middle. Remember, that was the question we asked. It may be important, as Zach said, but why is it stuck between Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah? The answer is it has to be in Shavuot, because Shavuot is when the Torah was given, and it has to be clear that these mitzvot are part of the Torah. And to that end, I just want to read you something from a commentary on Pirkei Avot. Okay, but I'll take your comment for a sec.
What you were trying to say, I apologize by adding it, what scientists call cognitive evolution.
Because yeah.
The name for what you just said, when you study evolution of our brain and mind and those very complex psyche, this would...
Okay. Thank you. So, the beginning of Pirkei Avot, right? Pirkei Avot we know is from the Mishnah, and most of the Mishnah, except for Pirkei Avot, are laws. How to build a sukkah, how to keep Shabbat, laws of these laws about the how to plant a field properly, what happens in court cases or damages that occur. Business law, the Mishnah covers everything. And then we have Pirkei Avot, which is a collection of ethical statements about how to live our life, how to treat other people, how to interact with society. What's that doing in the Mishnah, which is a book of law? And on top of that, this is the only book of Mishnah that starts with this. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, umisara li Yoshua, v'Yoshua lezikeinim, v'zikeinim leNeviim, uNeviim misaru l'anshei Knesset HaGedola. Before we start learning Pirkei Avot, the actual rules and guides, it tells us that God, that Moshe got the Torah from Sinai and passed it on to Joshua and Joshua to the elders. Why don't I have that before Masechet Shabbat? How come it doesn't tell me, okay, before you start learning, Bame Madlikin, Ubame Ein Madlikin, what are you allowed to light Shabbos candles and what you're not allowed to Shabbos candles with? How come it doesn't also say there, Moshe Kibel Torah miSinai? That's also from Sinai. Why am I only, how come before Masechet Baba Batra, when it tells me about Jewish tort law, it doesn't also say Moshe Kibel Torah miSinai? Why only here before Pirkei Avot?
Because it's over the generation, they kept adding and elaborating.
But it's
Shabbat, no, this is it.
No. This opening in Pirkei Avot is not telling us that these things were added over generations. It's the same period of time. It's the rabbis from the time of the Mishnah. The same rabbis who wrote the Mishnayot about Shabbat. The same period of time.
What did they do, all those people, from Moshe till
they we passed it down.
But yes, didn't they...
That's what Torah Sheba'al Peh is, right?
Didn't they clarify it or...
Yeah, and then it was eventually edited and composed in the Mishnah, but the same thing that happened to Masechet Shabbat. It's all it happened. The same process was for all the Masechtot.
Maybe take it for granted.
So I think the answer is... The answer I'm going to read to you is right in line with what the Meshech Chachma says. He says something very beautiful. This is from the Tiferet Yisrael commentary on the Pirkei Avot. He says as follows. Nir Eli, it seems to me, he says, Dimatchil mi Kabbalat HaTorah, the reason why Pirkei Avot specifically starts with the introduction about receiving the Torah, Shelo Yachshov HaAdam Disagi LaHashlamat Nafsho B'sheisuk B'Torah V'Kaima. A person should not think that they can complete the perfection of their soul with the study of Torah and the performance of the mitzvot alone. V'af shelo yitaken midotav yiskel olam haba. And even if they do not perfect their character traits, that they will have a share in the world to come. We should not think that. We should not think that all that's necessary is to master the halachot of Shabbat and the halachot of Sanhedrin and the halachot of Sukkot. We shouldn't think that. And proper interpersonal matters or proper characteristics don't matter. Dileta dekasha anshan shel midot. The punishment for bad midot is worse than the punishment for other things. V'chein amru chazal, de'osek b'torah ve'ein lo masa umatan ve'emunah. This is what the rabbi said, that if one studies Torah, but they're not honest in their dealings, ve'ein lo mitnaheg b'nachat im habriot, and person does not act in a calm, proper way with other people. Oilo, woe is to them. And then he tells the following. V'chein Rabba da'asak b'Torah chai 40 shana. Rabba in the Gemara, who studied Torah his whole life, lived for 40 years. V'abaye da'asak gam b'gimilut chasadim chai 60 shana. Abaye, who studied Torah and did acts of kindness, lived for 60 years. That's an incredible statement about this. Lachen matchil meha Torah u'misayim hei mamru. That's why Avot specifically starts with this train, this chain of tradition, and then right away goes into, and this is what they taught about proper nimusim, proper interpersonal relations. Lilam decha, shegam haderech eretz torahi. Derech eretz is torahi. That derech eretz is also, the fact that you have to speak to someone nicely also came from Sinai. The fact that you have to be kind also came from Sinai. The fact that you have to take care of the poor, even though we may have thought of that on our own, also came from Sinai. The chulan kibalnu mi-Sinai. We got them all from Har Sinai. That explains why Pirkei Avot specifically starts with this. No one would think for a second that the laws of Shabbat came from anywhere else. No one would think that they're not important. No one would think that the laws of tort law don't come from Sinai. Those are clear. You may think that these things that you find in Pirkei Avot, oh, they're nice, they're cute, but they're not really Torah. No, they are Torah. And that's, I think, what the Meshech Chachma is saying. The fact that the Torah repeats, and the Torah only does not do this often. And every time the Torah does, we have to figure it out. That's why almost every commentary you look at in this week's Parsha is going to try to figure out why this is repeated. According to the Meshech Chachma, it's repeated to remind us, and it's repeated dafka in Shavuot, to remind us that this nimusim, these acts of character and being acting properly towards each other, those are part of the Torah itself, which is why they're specifically mentioned in the section of the Torah that deals with Shavuot, which is the holiday of Matan Torah. Yes, that's part of it. Yeah, right. Correct. So just to review, Rashi says the reason why it's repeated is to impart on us, is to make sure we understand that there's a double prohibition here, and that, however, on the other hand, that if one fulfills this mitzvah, it's as if they have built the Beit HaMikdash and brought the karbanot. That's how important it is to take care of the needy. The Ibn Ezra says, no, we're not going to get too fancy. We're just going to do the pshat. The pshat is, it's seasonal. And so the Torah is talking about it again because it's seasonal. In one part, back in Kedoshim, it's about a just society. But here, while we're talking about the seasons, we're going to mention it again. The Netziv says in Kedoshim, it's about, again, setting up a just society. And here it's about mitzvot that bring us shefa bracha, plenty and blessing. And finally, this beautiful idea by the Meshech Chachma that it's repeated specifically here to teach us that these mitzvot, these obligations, which we may have thought are obvious, are also part of the Torah. He says that without the Torah, no one would do these things. Again, I'm not sure if the evidence bears that out, but it doesn't take away from the other point, which is they do come from the Torah, and therefore they're equally as important, and they have to be treated with the same seriousness as any other aspect of the Torah, even though we may have figured them out on our own, even though sometimes they come across, like in Pirkei Avot, as simple statements. They are fundamental and original parts of our tradition. And that's it. That's it for the day, everybody.